Unit 5. Focus 1. Language Skills. Section 1. Model Passage Reading. Tragedy in a Lifeboat.
Their cabin cruiser had quickly sunk after hitting a submerged object. There was little time to do anything except send out a distress signal stating their location. Now the three of them were bouncing around in a rubber raft in the Pacific Ocean, 2,000 miles from the nearest land. They were lucky to have taken the 5-gallon can of water and small ship-to-shore transmitter with them. It might be enough for them to survive. Pedro spoke little English, but he was an expert crewman that could take an engine apart blindfolded and then assemble it. He grew up in Acapulco and worked around boats since he was a child. His first job was washing down the boats that came in after a day of sports fishing. At 17, he was the respected captain of one of the most modern sports fishing boats in Acapulco. It was then that he fell in love with Maria. They were married and after 7 years had 5 children. Even if their apartment was small, they were comfortable and happy. He now was no longer with his family, but on a rubber raft in the middle of the Pacific with the married couple that had promised him a small fortune if he would accompany them on a year-long voyage. It now looked like death would be his fortune, and his wife and children would be homeless. After a day at sea, the married couple was getting panicky. They thought that they would not be rescued before their water supply ran out and that they would die of thirst. If only they had listened to their travel agent and taken a cruise across the Pacific on the Queen, this would not have happened. They were a wealthy couple from Hollywood Hills. They had everything that money could buy, and now their lives were going to end. They looked at Pedro with contempt as he took a swig of their precious water supply. The water that was going into his mouth could be what they needed to save their lives. His life to them was not as precious as the water he was devouring, and they wished that they had left him on the sinking boat. It infuriated them that he shared the life raft. They had to get rid of him. But Pedro was a strong man, and they would never be able to push him overboard. The couple whispered for hours, and they came up with an offer that Pedro would not refuse. They spoke to him about his family and his concern for them if he died. They told him that they would wire their brokerage account in Los Angeles and with a secret password could send a check of $1 million to each one of his family in exchange for Pedro's life. All Pedro had to do after the wire was dispatched was to put on the life jacket and quietly float away. With little chance of living and out of concern for his family, Pedro soon agreed. After the wire was sent from the ship-to-shore transmitter, Pedro slowly started to put on the life jacket, and that was when he pulled out the small revolver he had taken with him. He fired 2 bullets. The dead couple was then thrown into the sea, and Pedro was now alone. Still no ship was in sight, even though Pedro kept transmitting distress signals. He then received a message that there had been a mistake in calculating his location and a trawler was now on the way. But it could not possibly arrive before 3 days. That message was a death sentence because there was barely enough water left to last another day. A hot sun and no water can drive a person insane. Delusions and hallucinations accompany a man dying of thirst. Pedro took out the gun and put it in his dry mouth and blew the top of his head off. All was now quiet on the beautiful Pacific and thirst was gone. The mailman came early that day, and lunch was not yet served. Maria was watching her children playing with a soccer ball, but her mind was on Pedro. She missed him and was patiently waiting for his return. He would not be back for another 3 months. She opened up the important-looking brown envelope and looked at the 6 checks, and each was for $1 million. Her and her children's names appeared on the checks. She thought it was a holy miracle and ran down to the church to speak to the father. Together, they thanked the Lord and went to the central bank in Acapulco, where she deposited the checks. After leaving her new address with the church for Pedro when he returned, she and the children were on their way to the best hotel in Mexico City. Pedro did not return, but the family went on to build good lives for themselves. They hoped one day, after his life at sea, Pedro would join them.
New words.
Cabin.
Submerge.
Distress.
Location.
Bounce.
Raft.
Gallon.
Transmitter.
Assemble.
Rubber.
Panicky.
Contempt.
Swig.
Devour.
Infuriate.
Overboard.
Wire.
Brokerage.
Password.
Float.
Revolver.
Bullet.
Trawler.
Delusion.
Soccer.
Deposit.
Proper nouns.
Pedro.
Acapulco.
Maria.
The Queen.
Hollywood Hills.
Los Angeles.
Mexico City.
Section 2. Listening and Speaking. Listening. 1. Listen to a conversation on the text only once, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
Oh, my gosh! I can't believe it! What happened?
Maybe they killed each other in delusion. You know, people get crazy when they lose hope.
I don't think so. I think they must have quarreled over something, say, water. There's only a 5-gallon can of water. That's not enough for all the 3 to survive.
Had we calculated their location correctly, one day earlier, this tragedy would not have happened.
Sure, I feel sorry for them. Look at that man. He has got a revolver in his hand and a ship-to-shore transmitter beside him. He must be the guy sending out the final distress signal. Seems that he killed himself.
Yeah, I have the same feeling. Something bad must have happened out there.
I agree with you on that. They didn't die of thirst, but killed themselves with no rescue team in sight.
Definitely.
2. Listen to a long conversation twice, and then choose the best answer to each question.
Accounting? This is Mike.
Mike, this is Lena from sales. I just called to confirm our meeting tomorrow. Are we still on?
Goodness! It's been so long, I actually forgot. Let me see. Oh, Lena, you know what?
What's the matter?
I'm so sorry. I'd like to meet you, but something's come up.
You mean for tomorrow's meeting?
That's right. I'm afraid I have to postpone it. Mr. Scott got sick and I have to attend the Speechmakers Symposium in his place. I'm leaving today, and I won't be back until next week.
That's quite a while. I'm afraid I can't make it the week after you get back. You know, I have my own schedule.
I'm really sorry, but can I hope another chance?
Perhaps I will call you again after you get back.
Thanks for your kindness. Please accept my apology.
Never mind. Goodbye.
Bye.
Questions. 1. What's the relationship between the two speakers?
Two. What's the purpose of Lena's call?
Three. Why can't Mike meet Lena?
Four. Who might Mr. Scott be?
Five. When might they meet according to the conversation?
Accounting. This is Mike.
Mike, this is Lena from sales. I just called to confirm our meeting tomorrow. Are we still on?
Goodness. It's been so long, I actually forgot. Let me see. Oh, Lena, you know what?
What's the matter?
I'm so sorry. I'd like to meet you, but something's come up.
You mean for tomorrow's meeting?
That's right. I'm afraid I have to postpone it. Mr. Scott got sick and I have to attend the Speechmakers Symposium in his place. I'm leaving today, and I won't be back until next week.
That's quite a while. I'm afraid I can't make it the week after you get back. You know, I have my own schedule.
I'm really sorry, but can I hope another chance?
Perhaps I will call you again after you get back.
Thanks for your kindness. Please accept my apology.
Never mind. Goodbye.
Bye.
Questions. 1. What's the relationship between the two speakers?
Two. What's the purpose of Lena's call?
Three. Why can't Mike meet Lena?
Four. Who might Mr. Scott be?
Five. When might they meet according to the conversation?
Three. Listen to a passage twice and then answer the questions.
The punctual person is in the habit of doing a thing at the proper time and is never late in keeping an appointment. The unpunctual man, on one hand, never does what he has to do at the proper time. He's always in a hurry and in the end loses both time and his good name. A lost thing may be found again, but lost time can never be regained. Time is more valuable than material things. In fact, time is life itself. The unpunctual man is forever wasting and mismanaging his most valuable thing as well as others. The unpunctual person is always complaining that he finds no time to answer letters or return calls or keep appointments promptly. But the man who really has a great deal to do is very careful of his time and seldom complains about it. Failure to be punctual in keeping one's appointments is a sign of disrespect towards others. If a person is invited to dinner and arrives later than the appointed time, he keeps all the other guests waiting for him. Usually, this will be regarded as a great disrespect to the host and all other guests present. Unpunctuality, moreover, is very harmful when it comes to doing one's duty, whether public or private. Imagine how it would be if those who are put in charge of important tasks failed to be at their proper place at the appointed time. A man who is known to be habitually unpunctual is never trusted by his friends or fellow men. The punctual person is in the habit of doing a thing at the proper time and is never late in keeping an appointment. The unpunctual man, on one hand, never does what he has to do at the proper time. He's always in a hurry and in the end loses both time and his good name. A lost thing may be found again, but lost time can never be regained. Time is more valuable than material things. In fact, time is life itself. The unpunctual man is forever wasting and mismanaging his most valuable thing as well as others. The unpunctual person is always complaining that he finds no time to answer letters or return calls or keep appointments promptly. But the man who really has a great deal to do is very careful of his time and seldom complains about it. failure to be punctual in keeping one's appointments is a sign of disrespect towards others. If a person is invited to dinner and arrives later than the appointed time, he keeps all the other guests waiting for him. Usually, this will be regarded as a great disrespect to the host and all other guests present. Unpunctuality, moreover, is very harmful when it comes to doing one's duty, whether public or private. Imagine how it would be if those who are put in charge of important tasks failed to be at their proper place at the appointed time. A man who is known to be habitually unpunctual is never trusted by his friends or fellow men.
Speaking. Reference answer.
Hello, Pacific Ocean Limited. What can I do for you?
Hello. This is A from Shanghai Universe Export and Import Corporation. We are interested in the shoes you exhibited last month at the Shanghai Trade Fair. I wonder if you have any leisure style.
Yes, we have two brands of leisure style for your choice, Big Apple and Free Man.
How much does one pair of Free Man cost?
That depends on the size you order. You know, we offer all sizes from 6 to 12.
How much discount could you offer on an order of size 8 and 9?
Our price for 20 pairs of size 8 and 9, let me see, would be $45 per item.
I'm sorry to say that your price is about 9% higher than those offered by other suppliers.
Our product is very competitive, so it's reasonable our price is a little bit higher.
But isn't it possible to give us a little more discount if we order a large quantity? You know, we are likely to order more if your price is satisfactory.
Well, if your order is large enough, we are ready to reduce our prices by 5%. I hope we can have a long-term cooperation.
Sure, if the quality is up to our expectations. We'd like to order 10 pairs, and each for $42. Is that okay?
I'm afraid I can't decide now. That's the lowest price we've offered. I'll call back later.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Focus 2. Language use. Section 1. Practical reading. American business etiquette.
Etiquette is about being comfortable around people and making them comfortable around you. Remember to be courteous and thoughtful to the people around you, regardless of the situation. Consider other people's feelings, stick to your convictions as diplomatically as possible. Address conflict as situation-related rather than person-related. Apologize when you step on toes. Top 8 strategies for mastering business etiquette. It's about people. Demonstrate respect and courtesy to everyone, regardless of their position or standing within a company. Ensure your grammar and voice tone are professional. Limit, even eliminate, profanity and coarse language. Remain in the present moment, giving your guest your undivided attention. Punctuality. Honor other people's time. Commence and terminate meetings on time. Give reasonable notice for projects. If you can't meet a deadline, state what you can do. Be on time. Arrive 5 minutes before the scheduled time for all business occasions. If you know that you will be delayed, inform your contact. Offer to reschedule. If you're invited to a meal, you should arrive promptly. When invited to a cocktail party, it's usually permissible to arrive a few minutes late. On these occasions, you do not need to call ahead, even if you will be 30 minutes late. Refrain from arriving earlier than the stated time under all circumstances. The cellular phone. When using a cell phone, speak in hushed tones, because a mobile phone has a sensitive microphone capable of picking up a soft voice. Set the ringtone at a low level with a tune that is soft, gentle, and not annoying. The more crowded the situation, the quieter and softer the volume of your voice and ring should be. Put your cell phone on vibrating mode in any situation, such as in a church, in a theater, a workshop, or a meeting where a ringing sound would prove disturbing to other people. Switch to voicemail to take incoming calls when stepping up to a service counter or entering a restaurant. Respect the personal space of other people and try to speak in places 10 to 20 feet or more away from the closest person. Make sure that there is enough distance to keep the content private. Some stories, some issues, and some conflicts should be saved for times and locations that will allow for confidentiality. Learn which types of locations would offer the best signal and the best conditions. Rather than hold an important business discussion or negotiation under poor conditions, wait for good conditions in order to make the best impression and provide a professional communication experience. Stop other activities, such as typing, when a call comes through in order to give the caller full attention. Free of distraction, make optimal use of the call. The telephone. When you receive a phone call, identify yourself professionally by giving your first and last name and your department. Articulate all of your words clearly. Answer the phone with some enthusiasm or at least warmth. Know how to put people on hold and keep them there respectfully, and how to transfer calls expertly. If you're going to be absent from your office, have your answering system inform your caller when they can expect to call back and program your phone to pick up a call immediately. Be sure to keep mailboxes empty and keep your voice messages updated. Return phone calls promptly. Even if you don't want to talk to someone, ensure that a proper response is provided. You can use email, call after hours, or fax to give a response, or have someone else call for you. If you don't have an answer, call and explain what you are doing to obtain the requested information, or direct them to the appropriate place to get it. When you initiate a call, identify yourself and state the basic nature of your call in order to put the person that you're calling in the picture. Greet people in a friendly manner. In electronic media, including the phone, voicemail, and email, do not act abrupt, crass, or rude, since you are not face-to-face with a person. Personalize the conversation. Email. Make the subject line specific, letting the readers know what they are about to open. Address and sign your emails. Beginning the message with a person's name or dear helps customize it. Sign your name sincerely or provide a signature line for people to know who you are and where they can reach you. Do not type all in all caps. You may be regarded as too intense and too lazy to type properly. This is still a written medium. Follow standard writing guidelines as a professional courtesy. When replying to or forwarding an email, clean up the document. Don't forward messages with 3 pages of mail-to information before they get to the content. When replying to a question, use reply or copy only the question into your email and then provide your response. Do not send a bare message that only reads, "Yes." It's too blunt and confuses the reader. Restate the query or issue to provide a context for the reader. Interruptions. If at all possible, avoid interruptions of someone's concentration on a task, group work sessions, meetings, phone calls, or even discussions. Always apologize if you must interrupt. Quickly state the nature of what you need to say and show consideration for the fact that you are interrupting valuable work in progress. Dress and appearance. It can be insulting to your colleagues or clients to show a lack of concern about your appearance. Make sure that your clothes fit physically and that they fit the occasion and the setting. If in doubt, always err on the side of conservative. Be clear about how you expect people to look at your business. Business casual dress remains more formal than what you'd wear at home. Practice impeccable grooming. Wearing wrinkled clothes or arriving smelly and unkempt communicates that you don't care enough about the situation, the people, or the company to present yourself respectably. Introductions. If you are a woman and this is business, it's appropriate now to stand up and shake the hand of a man. Sometimes, people who don't like to shake hands will not meet yours. This is just their preference. Do not say something cute or funny. When needing to complete a group of introductions, the highest rank trumps gender. When you meet someone for the first time, use a title and his or her last name until you are told to do otherwise. If you are not told of a person's last name, simply use the first name or the nickname. If you forget someone's name, you can sometimes cover by introducing a person you do know first, as this will usually get the unknown person to introduce him or herself. If this does not work, admit that you've had a mental block. Appoint an employee to be a buddy to a guest, a new employee, or a consultant to ensure that they are introduced around and have someone to help resolve little logistical problems that may arise and cause embarrassment.
New words.
Etiquette.
Diplomatically.
Ensure.
Profanity.
Cause.
Commence.
Terminate.
Deadline.
Schedule.
Delay.
Cocktail.
Refrain.
Hushed.
Microphone.
Vibrate.
Switch.
Confidentiality.
Articulate.
Transfer.
Abrupt.
Crass.
Personalize.
Customize.
Intense.
Guideline.
Blunt.
Query. Conservative.
Casual.
Impeccable.
Grooming.
Wrinkled.
Unkempt.
Trump.
Gender.
Buddy.
Logistical.